You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
After considerable polling and conjecture that he might lose, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu declared victory Wednesday in Israel's parliamentary elections.
Against all odds, we have achieved victory for the Likud party.
99.5% of the votes counted, Netanyahu and the Likud party have captured 30 of the 120 seats in parliament, and now Netanyahu has to form a coalition. Joining us is Shira Frankel, Middle East correspondent for BuzzFeed. Shira, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
How difficult will it be for Netanyahu to form a coalition, and what parties will he be relying on?
It shouldn't be difficult for him at all. He already has at least two parties who have sworn that they will join him in the coalition, both of those parties from the right wing. And he has others who are lining up to see what he's got on offer. It seems at the moment that this coalition could be run one of the most right-wing coalitions in Israel's history. Now that parties like Zionist Union have said that they're not interested in joining, they'd rather sit in the opposition.
Is the economy a factor here in the end? Was this about security, even though so many people were talking about the economy in this campaign?
Well, the fact that Moshe Kahlon's Kulanu party, which campaigned almost solely on socioeconomic issues, did as well as it did, does show that the economy was a factor. Also, we saw Netanyahu in the very last moment on this media blitz talking about how he would pay attention to the economy and that socioeconomic issues were important to him. So he certainly played to that. And I met with quite a few people yesterday who told me that they believed that he was serious, that he had heard this call by the Israeli people to be more serious about improving Israel's economy, and that they were changing their minds to vote for him because they believe that he was now serious about this. Whether or not he actually acts on that and whether or not there are socioeconomic reforms made in Israel is left to be seen.
How much of this is Israelis really not seeing beyond Netanyahu, that he's kind of the only one who can do this job, functioning in the United States, being a sort of international figure on some level, and dealing with the very, very indecipherable Israeli domestic scene?
Oh, I mean, I think that's a huge factor. I can't even count the number of Israelis I spoke to yesterday who said that when it came down to it, they decided to vote for Netanyahu because they couldn't imagine anyone else being prime minister of Israel. I think that Netanyahu was very smart to play to Israelis' fears that if they didn't vote for him, they were going to get an unexpected and an unknown. And there were a few Israelis actually who told me that they had gone to the ballot box planning on voting for another candidate and at the last moment picked Netanyahu because they're, as they said, they're hearts told them to do that. And when I pried a bit further and said, what do you mean by your hearts? They all said the same thing, which is, well, you know, Netanyahu has been prime minister here for so long, I can't picture anybody else doing this job. So it just seems like Israelis at the end did want to go back to something they knew and something that was familiar.
And this is a fourth term, right?
This is a fourth term. And if Netanyahu does succeed in lasting in this term for 3 years, he will be Israel's longest serving prime minister.
Which is remarkable. So are Israelis expecting another cycle of the almost ritualized stories now of tension in Gaza, rockets from the north, possibly a crisis internationally with the Palestinians declaring a state of one kind or another? Is there any progress that can be made in the peace process, and wither the economy over the next 4 years?
I think Netanyahu made some comments in the last few days that are leaving a lot of Palestinians despondent over prospects for peace talks. He said that he was planning on expanding Israel's settlements in the West Bank, and he said that under him, there would not be a Palestinian state. I'm not sure, you know, those people who are sitting in the White House right now and those people in the European Union that have worked on peace talks between Israel and the Palestinians, I'm not sure how they're going to look at those comments and still try to push forward some kind of peace negotiation at this point. It's completely possible that Netanyahu will walk back some of those comments. But the truth is that his government has not really moved forward with peace talks with Palestinians. And that's for a number of issues. The Palestinians have also not been in a situation where they can really throw their full weight behind peace talks. But I think that, unfortunately, those in this region who are living life along the Gaza border, and by that I mean both Palestinians in Gaza and Israelis, both told me yesterday that they're expecting there to be another war, another round of violence between the Israeli army and between Hamas militants in Gaza. They're expecting there to be another flare up in the coming years, because there was no resolution really to the last war. So they're sort of looking at this and saying, right, are we just going to go through the cycle again? Are we going to have another war? And in 2 years' time, another election? There wasn't a great deal of sort of hope and optimism from the people I spoke to down there.
So if there is any kind of vision here, it's to hold on to this, you know, parking space in time and politics, and really just keep your head down.
Yeah, it seems to be the case. And, you know, for all the talk here in Israel of revolution, and there were groups such as one grassroots movement called V15, which really sort of put up this huge united effort to try and get Israelis to think about these elections differently, to vote on the basis of socioeconomic issues, to vote perhaps for parties that they wouldn't otherwise vote for. I think what we've seen in these elections is that Israelis wanted the status quo. They wanted to keep what they knew, if not move a little bit further to the right.
And yet the rise of the Israeli Arabs in their success in the parliament suggests that the demographic clock is still ticking in Israel.
Certainly. I think the success of those Arab parties came down to two factors. One, which was the leader who managed to unite all those Arab parties together, Ayman Oudeh. He's come out as a real sort of rock star in the Arab public. I've seen people who are, you know, diehard communists and people who are Islamists praising him as a politician. He also did something rare, which is managed to appeal to left-wing Israelis and say, I'm not just here for the Arab sector. I'm here for anyone that wants sort of a left-wing candidate. And quite a few Israelis, citizens I met with yesterday who would normally vote for a left-wing group like Meretz voted for him instead. Mm. He managed to bump up support in the Arab sector, which voted in higher numbers than they ever have before. And I wonder if going forward, this is a trend that we'll continue to see.
Shira Frankel, Middle East correspondent for BuzzFeed. Thanks so much.
Thank you.